So talking about these myths that were exploded, I'm sure they're still debatable by some or controversial. Some people might find it hard to believe, especially in my age demographic, being in, you know, your 20s and having graduated, that that student debt isn't as big of an issue as the media makes it out to be. What's your real life experience as somebody who heads a university?
Well, first of all, I think that these statistics that are quoted in the book show where the majority of the debt is, that much of the debt is incurred by students at the for-profit universities. You know, the ones that, you know, are many online, and, you know, they've had a lot of federal investigation of them. They also show that a good bit of the debt is for students who are going into medicine, and, of course, they're going to make a lot of money later. Now, that isn't to say that undergraduates are not incurring more debt than they should. And I think that it is important for us at the universities to help students with financial literacy, do everything in our power to help students know that there are grants that don't have to be paid back, and to help them manage the debt while they're students.
Addressing this idea of administrative bloat, something you hear a lot at the State House when it comes time to debate over the education budgets. And as you mentioned, it sounds like these authors argue that it's just a convenient kind of criticism. Meanwhile, also not the main crux of the problem. Although here in Illinois, of course, we have seen administrators, even people running universities, have a habit of rotating through the university and making very large sums of money and sometimes getting large payouts. Can you address that issue, you know, specifically for Illinois here? Because as we know, we're somewhat unique.
Well, you know, I think that in any profession, you're going to have outliers who, you know, are lining their pockets in one way or the other. But I have to say that I'm starting my 10th year in Illinois higher education. And I think if you look at our public universities, you're just not going to find bloat. You're going to find very responsible people running these universities who are committed to their students. And I'll give you, you know, a very specific example because I know my own university best. You can't find any bloat here. We are running a truly streamlined operation, and we're trying to do everything we can to put student success at the center. And, you know, given our situation right now, where for fiscal year 16, the year just passed, we had a 70% cut in our appropriations. All the publics did, except one that had a 40% cut. It's still terrible. And we are soldiering on to do whatever we can with employees at all levels doing more than one job and doing everything to serve students. So I think that in some ways the state leaders ought to take a look at, you know, how we are doing so much more with so much less. And this 70% cut from last year, and then of course for next year, they've committed to only a 6-month budget. And so it makes it very difficult for us to plan and to really see any kind of stability. And that's something that this book calls for as well. But even before this horrendous period, the state was lowering our appropriations every year, and we were still trying to do everything we could to keep the quality of student education at a high level. So, you know, and in our case at Governor State University, during this period of diminished resources, we have grown quite substantially in enrollment. We've transformed the university from an upper division university into a full 4-year, full service university with attention to foundation level courses, also called for in the book. We have only full-time faculty teaching our freshman students. We keep those classes to 18, and that's something that is going to have the highest priority for us, and we'll cut everything else before, you know, we will diminish students' education. So I think the facts simply do not support administrative bloat.
Meanwhile, you mentioned that the book, kind of the crux of what it gets at, is that family wealth is so important when it comes to student success and affordability. Meanwhile, the cuts to the state that we're mentioning mean there's fewer MAP grants and other financial support coming from the state, which means for lower income students, higher ed might just not be realistic for them, for many of them.
I think the authors are saying that it is in the interest of democracy in the United States, and it's in the interest of the states to invest more in higher education. What they're saying is, because you are poor, that does not mean that you lack talent and potential. And that what it's good for the overall public, it's a public good if states invest in making sure that its citizens, no matter what their income level, can fulfill their potential.